So listen closely now. Long time ago, Martin Luther King Jr., a man whose public oratory spoke to the heavens and the ages, seemed to betray an eerie private thought in a speech that has become one of the most famous and familiar in American history.
I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Goosebumps even today. I may not get there with you. Inner thoughts from a public figure who would be assassinated the very next day in Memphis, Tennessee, April 4th, 1968. What must have been going through Dr. King's mind on what would be that last night of his life? We can never know, but we can imagine.
He's caught up in the fame of being the most loved and respected civil rights leader on the planet at that time. He's filled with a lot of fear. He's filled with a lot of doubt because a lot of the things that he's trying to do don't seem to work. So it's an excellent opportunity as an actor to explore someone who comes out of his public persona and closes the door and is able to relax for a moment.
That, of course, is actor Samuel L. Jackson speaking about playing King in the play The Mountaintop. Here's Angela Bassett talking about playing the role of someone who might have spoken with Dr. King in those final hours.
This was a little bit challenging for me because my character has this dual kind of awareness. That's the best way I can say it.
An awareness of the inner history of one of America's most historic figures runs through the play, The Mountaintop. It was a smash hit in London, has played to ecstatic audiences around the country, even in stage readings in Russia. It's in previews now on Broadway, and it's Playwright. I couldn't be more excited about this. Katori Hall is with us here in the studio. Katori, congratulations, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How did this imagining of the last night of Martin Luther King Jr.'s life begin in your life? Because it really involves a member of your own family.
Yes, it's my mother who inspired me to write the play. Basically, when I was a young girl, she kept telling me this story over and over again. We're from Memphis. We grew up around, well, rather, my mother grew up around the corner from the Lorraine Motel. And so when Dr. King came to give a speech in support of the sanitation worker strike, she really wanted to go hear him speak. She was so inspired by him. She was invigorated by him. He made her walk a little taller and love herself a little bit more. And so she just wanted to be in the presence of greatness and hear this great orator speak. So she asked her mama, Big Mama, can I go to the church and hear Dr. King speak? And Big Mama was like, you know they're going to bomb their church. You know they're going to bomb their church. Because there were rumors percolating in the community that somebody was out for him. A worker down the street had overheard the mayor say to someone else, if Dr. King comes back into Memphis, he's not going to make it out alive, because he had came the previous week.
So those rumors were reality.
The rumors, yeah, you know, absolutely, turned into reality, because the next day, he was gone. He was assassinated. And that was the greatest regret of my mother's life. And so that story just stayed with me. And as I grew older, I decided that I'm going to write a play, you know, inspired by my mother's deepest regret, but also because I thought it was very interesting that Dr. King did say, I may not get there with you.
And this is a portrait of a complicated figure.
Absolutely.
And you really explore some territory here. How daring do you have to be to open a chapter that so many Americans know from the outside?
I mean, you have to be extremely daring, but it's funny. When I was writing the play, I was writing it not thinking that it was ever going to be produced. So I think that added to my fearlessness. You know, I really portray Dr. King as a human being who is extremely complex, and we see him vulnerable. Sometimes we see him crying, and sometimes we see him bumming a cigarette.
Well, what was your mom's reaction then?
So my mother came to London to see the closing of the play, and she had never left America before. We actually had to expedite her passport. So she gets her passport, she gets to London, and we're doing the play in a theater above a pub. And it's interesting, she started freaking out in the middle of the play, and I was like, oh my God, my mother hates this play because the character is cursing. But she was actually screaming because the character, the other character that Angela Bassett plays, is named after her.
So she discovered that.
She discovered
in seeing
that.
The play.
Yes.
You know, this is about a relationship with history. It's also about a relationship with mother, in the sense that you in this play are going back and changing history, yeah, and in a sense permitting your mother to have
be
the experience.
In his presence. Yeah. It's almost like
that's powerful stuff.
And it's amazing what your imagination can do, and how, you know, our imaginations can create a new future, and it can also kind of revise history a little bit. So I think the play is definitely giving my mother a retroactive audience with Dr. King.
Talk to me about the collaboration with Samuel L. Jackson. Here he is speaking with students about his experience of April 1968.
When I was a young student at Morehouse College, he would be on campus from time to time, and I would see him. I saw him speak. I was at the campus movie that night he was assassinated. And the next day, his body was brought to Spelman College. I went over, I viewed the body. And that next morning, a bunch of us got on a plane, went to Memphis, and marched in the Sanitation Workers' March. I came back from Memphis the very next day, and I actually worked as an usher at Dr. King's funeral.
Wow, how much of a resource is that, working with Samuel Jackson?
It's such a great honor to work with him because he was there. We don't need a dramaturg in the room. He's this flesh and blood dramaturg right in our rehearsal hall. And the fact that he was an usher at King's funeral really, you know, gives him a sense of responsibility when he comes to the stage. He feels as though he has to do it right. He feels as though he has to invoke King in a way that I don't think other actors would bring to the play. And so, like I said, it's just been so amazing to see him. You know, he's not mimicking King in any way. I mean, you really can't do that, but he is really infusing it with so much life, and he's coming to it very respectfully. So I really am honored to have him doing the role.
We're speaking with Katori Hall, who's the playwright and author of The Mountaintop, this play that imagines the last night of Martin Luther King Jr. You know, and to a certain extent, you were born, what, a decade after he died?
Pretty much, yeah.
So it's almost as though it took that generation for you to be able to write a play as nuanced as this, to have
Absolutely.
A little bit of distance to see Martin Luther King with all his various facets.
Yeah, there's this historical distance, and I feel as though being a generation removed, for me, I do put King on a pedestal, and I wanted to take him off of the wall. I always joke that you walk into my big mama's house, there's two pictures on the wall. There's Jesus and there's Dr. King. And I just wanted to bring the painting a little bit closer to me, because unfortunately, as a young person, I have felt that Dr. King is in the past. He's a statue. He's a museum piece. And he is not that. We are living in his legacy. We are walking in his light, or at least we're trying to. And I don't want people to forget Dr. King.
Did you discover that in Russia? This had a stage reading in Moscow. It was
Ain't
translated
that crazy?
Into Russian. It's so fantastic. I mean, did that show you that these themes and this historical figure is universal in a sense?
Absolutely, because and the reason why I went to Russia is because I've been there before. I studied there as an actress.
When you're at Harvard.
Absolutely. And my friend, she was like, I'm going to translate this play into Russian. And so, you know, seeing a Russian audience laugh at the same places, cry at the same places was just absolutely amazing. And I never thought that the first country to translate the play would be Russia. But I think actually it's quite perfect, because as a country, they are, you know, at a different juncture in that they're beginning to be very open about social issues and talking about them. And so I felt like after the play reading, we had this safe space that was created where young people and older people could like sit down and talk very freely about what was going on in their own country.
Well, she never thought the play would be produced, but it's on previews on Broadway right now. Author of The Mountaintop, Katori Hall, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Give us your thoughts on Dr. King or The Mountaintop or anything else in this program. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or text the word TAKE to 69866. And you can stay in touch with The Takeaway from your inbox by signing up for our daily newsletter as well. You can subscribe at thetakeaway.org.
I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.